Hi, welcome to Power Hour with Nina Turner. You know, Nina, we have you as a superhero in the intro and graphics of the show. You're going to need to be because at the end of the show, we're going to do what would Nina do? And the question this time is, how would you save the planet? So get ready.
That's all. Nothing too big.
Yeah.
Just the planet.
Yeah. I was going to have you debate Spider-Man. I said, well, look, let's let Nina make her case for how to save the world first. Then we'll bring in Spider-Man.
And then we'll go
back.
Okay. I love it.
All right. Having said that, Jake Huger, Nina Turner, let's do this. What's your story of the week?
Let's do this. So good to be back. So it is the hostage situation in Texas. And everybody should know, last weekend, a gunman stormed in the congregation of Beth Israel in Coleyville, Texas, and held four people hostage for more than 10 hours. Malik, and I may not be pronouncing the last name correctly, Akram, is 44 years old. He flew from England to the United States and made his way to Texas and within two weeks. And once he arrived in Texas, Akram was able to find and purchase a gun. Now, we know that Texas is known for having some of the loosest restrictions on gun ownership in the country. Last year, Texas passed a law allowing gun owners to carry a handgun without a license or training. Good God, no. Texas also does not require background checks for private sales. You know, we talk a lot in this country about closing the gun show loophole. This is a whole nother loophole that they have going. So President Biden, and we'll put up what the president had to say. He responded to the gunman's weapon purchase at a press conference on Sunday. And let's read what he had to say. And I quote, "The idea of background checks are critical, but you can't stop something like this if someone is on the street buying something from someone else on the street, except that there's so many guns that have been sold of late. It's just ridiculous. And it is because of the failure of us to focus as hard as we should and as consistent as we should on gun purchases, gun sales, ghost guns, and a whole range of things I'm trying to do." And that President Biden said that. Next quote, Jane, comes from the Center for American Progress. And we have Ms. Parson saying that 22% of gun owners reported having purchased their most recent gun through a transaction that did not require a background check. And so we can go on and on and on. We know that we have a real crisis in America. We're overgunned. I know that the people who think that the Second Amendment is more important than any other amendment to the Constitution would definitely disagree with me. But we have a gun for every man, woman, child, dog, cat, fish, and goldfish, you know, just gunned up. So.
Yep. Well, so there's a number of issues that come out of this story. First of all, in this case, it was a Muslim terrorist. And when I saw that, I was like genuinely surprised. It's because almost every time it's been right-wing extremists, especially in synagogues lately. And so. It was kind of a sign of the times that we got surprised that there was a radical Muslim terrorist in America. And of course, it was immediately called terrorism because he's Muslim. Whereas when the right wing does it, oh, they hem, they haw, they can't quite figure it out. They're mass shooters, they're troubled. You know, their family was trying to help them and all that stuff, right? But to me, one of the most striking parts of the story was he flew into the country. By the way, note, he did not cross the border in Mexico. Most of the terrorists, if they're foreigners, fly into the country, violate a visa. They're about to kill people. They're not worried about violating their visa. It's actually super easy to get into the country. All you need is a plane ticket, okay? So he gets here. His plan was, I don't need to bring a weapon. America's filled with weapons and they have no laws. You just go buy one. Nobody ever stops you. There's no requirement for licensing. There's no requirement for training. Private sales are unregulated. Even if you didn't do it in the street, you could just go to a flea market or a swap meet, anything, and just buy a gun and nobody will check. That's perfect. It's like a terrorist you know, dream come true, a place like America where there are no laws to stop them from committing terrorism.
Yeah, I mean, was it Michael Moore's first documentary? Maybe it wasn't the first one, but I think it was Bowling for Columbine. But he did an extraordinary documentary about the level of guns that we have in the United States of America. And we really got to do something about it. I mean, from Sandy Hook, I mean, we can name all kinds of tragedies that have happened in this country, and it still has not moved this Congress to have stricter gun laws. We must have them. And then, you know, to have what happened to that congregation, you know, was definitely sad. Everybody was on the edge of their seats. Luckily, the hostages were let go, but it could have been much more tragic than being held for 10 hours.
Yeah, and that's the last part of the story that's so troubling, which is that yet again, a synagogue was targeted. Yeah. And so now they're getting hit from all sides. And in the beginning, it was like, hey, why did he choose a synagogue? And people were having some sort of debate about, oh, was it a coincidence just near the prison? Guys, keep it real. Anti-Semitism is real.
It is real.
Yeah.
And on the rise, too. It's on the rise.
100%. So yeah. A terrorist isn't going to come over here to try to free an Al-Qaeda ally from one of our prisons and then be shy about being anti-Semitic. Okay. So now, at the same time, lately, the reason we were surprised at who it was, it's been almost exclusively right-wing extremists who've been hitting synagogues. And they have the same anti-Semitic theories that are, you know, timeless. The Jews actually control everything. They're the global elitists. And then they're the ones that control the government and all those kind of tropes that are disgusting and have been around forever. And so we keep warning people on our network about a number of things, the fascist takeover of our democracy, and this, the rise of, you know, violence with guns. We've been doing for 20 years. And, you know, I remember the first time I said, no, a massacre is going to be in your neighborhood soon. People were outraged. How can you say that? Now everybody's, oh, well, that's normal, obviously. I mean, that's not even an interesting thing to say. We're all braced for impact. We teach our kids how to hide because there's, you know, a high percentage chance there's going to be somebody who comes to murder our kids in our schools. We've all gotten used to it like it's normal. And one of the things that we warn you about is anti-Semitism. They keep saying at the end of the day that it's the Jews. And so we've got to be careful. And a lot, you know, I've gone on and on here, but one more thing about the rabbi in this case, total American hero. He had heeded the warnings. He had gotten training from the FBI and others for how to protect themselves, and he did. He protected his flock. But by the way, I said this when we first covered it, is he didn't just protect his flock. In the beginning, he's the one that let the guy in the first place. That's not a bad thing. He was wonderful and had an open heart and thought he was destitute and needed help. And look at that Jewish rabbi taking in someone who is of a different background who he thought needed help. That's wonderful of him. And then when things went wrong, he defended the people in his synagogue and got him out to safety. Absolute hero.
Absolutely. No doubt about it.
Yeah. Well, we'll do this story in the next one, or there'll be more gun violence in the next one after that, the next one after that. Nobody will do anything about it. Joe Biden will give a good speech. That was a decent speech on his part about this, right? But will he do anything? No, they won't pass any laws. And the ban will march on.
Yep.
Okay.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, on that cheery note, we move on. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, you know, look, speaking of cheer notes, we got one. So, Nina, who's your hero of the week?
Hero of the week, the Urban Cowboys. So excited about this. So when you think of Los Angeles, you don't usually think of horseback riding. The three Latino men from the city of Compton are looking to change that. So we have Daniel Zapata, Hector Gomez, and Rubiglio Diaz, oh Lord, I hope I didn't butcher that name, but the last name I know I have right, Mr. Diaz, all have one goal, to build a large multicultural equestrian center and rodeo area on the south side of Compton 20 minutes south of Los Angeles. The center will provide jobs, safe and healthy activities for all ages, community connections, and above all else, horseback rides. Yes, I got to fly in for that. The three men are seeking funding now through their nonprofit, Connecting Compton. And Compton has a big equestrian community, including the Compton Cowboys and the Compton Junior Equestrians, all led by Black members of the community. And Jink, when we think of cowboys, just because of the misinformation in history, we do not tend to think of cowboys of color, but every one in three cowboy was Black. Hello, somebody. I mean, yes, that was absolutely true. So we have a quote from Daniel Zapata, and Zepeda, maybe that's the way to pronounce it. And he I want to quote him. We put up the quote. It's going to create a lot of pride and make everybody feel like there's a sense of belonging. And more than anything, just create unity for all cultures. How beautiful is that? We need that unity across the cultures. And what better way to bring people together? Horseback ride.
Yeah, it's a fun story. I'm picturing a multicultural cast on horses, like riding in the middle of the LA freeway with like Straight out of Compton playing in the background.
Yes. Oh, wouldn't that be a beautiful sight?
It is. So, look, it's funny because horseback riding has two completely different images. When you say equestrian, it sounds fancy, like, oh, are we having tea and crumpets? Are they playing polo? And then when you say cowboys, though, it's like, yeah, there you go, rough
rugged.
Guys. Yes. Rugged, there you go, so the reality is that equestrian has that highfalutin image because, yeah, you need a lot of money to own a horse.
Right? Very expensive. But
you don't need a lot of money to be a cowboy. Let's keep it real. Back in the day when, as Nina pointed out, a high percentage were African American, it was not a glorious job. It was a really, really tough job that paid very poorly. And you had to be on that horse, you know, for so long under brutal conditions. And that's why they were considered tough guys in the first place.
Yeah, so true.
Yeah, so sorry I stopped there. Look, in this case, can Blacks, Latinos, et cetera, in Compton do horseback riding and learn those skills? And it's a good way to spend their time? Of course they can, as long as somebody pays for it, right? Right.
Yeah.
So there's no reason why they can't. It's not like, oh no, that would never happen. Of course it would happen. You just have to provide the horses and the stables.
Yes, that's all. And hopefully people will support their organization. And so Edwin Flores, NBC News, let's put that quote up. If their proposal for the center is approved by city officials, the trio will be granted site control of the landfill, which they said first needs to be remediated. They expect to cover 20% of the total cost through various means, including federal and state funding, and hope the remaining funds could be secured through personal loans, private or angel investments, as well as donations. They said several local officials have expressed support of this project. I mean, Jink, what a great way to invest money into a community, give exposure to so many people, but for a project like this, would never have the opportunity to get on the back of a horse. And definitely we can learn more from their website, connectingcompton.com. Please, I urge people to go and check it out.
That sounds good. All right, I'll add a totally needless fact here to this story. My nephews were into equestrian riding when they were young, when they were in Turkey, where horses are a little bit more affordable, that whole situation, right? And so my sister thought, all right, why not take advantage, right? So do I have hilarious pictures of Hassan Piker in an equestrian outfit? The answer is yes. Will I release them? Well, I don't know. How well is Haas doing on Twitch?
Uh, Don't do it to him.
Straight out of West Hollywood. No, I'm All right. Okay. So that was a fun story about the hero of the week. So now back to.
What are members saying? Are members percolating?
All right, you're right. I forgot. Thank you for reminding me, by the way. What kind of a host am I? All right, fine. Okay, the people who put this show together, the members. So is Black Pearl Dragon your official name on Damage Report now?
It is. I love it so much. I got to get a t-shirt made, but yes, Black Pearl Dragon.
All right, good. My sister's name in Turkish means mother of pearls. So I don't know if there's some sort of cosmic connection here today. Anyway, so Starshine Song Dragon said, always look forward to Nina, the Black Pearl Dragon. I love it. Biden flavor corn pop wrote Nina with a number of fire emojis and I believe fireworks as well. Tuffy just wrote Nina with 1,000 exclamation points, a couple of hearts and a couple of claps. So as usual, nothing but love here. M. St. Clair 1962 said, I bet Nina's on fire tonight. Well, we're about to get to that in a second. What's the antimatter? Oh, yeah. Man, there's nothing but emojis and love and exclamations for you. Also, Nina, the hearts on the emoji business with the eyes. How is this for a boomer description of this of this comment? You get it. Addy Dragon on Twitch says, if anyone can save the planet, it's Nina frickin' Turner. And then Nikki 80 says, 60-month sub anniversary. Much love to TYT. Looking forward to Jared Jackson's new show on Monday.
Yes. Despite
the watch list starts on Monday. Everybody check it out. Indeed. All right, there's 1,000. Oh, okay. Well, now two last ones here. Doormat9/scratchmark says, you could also just straight up carry a sword in Texas now. I mean, good luck with that if you're not white. But on paper, it's legal. Yeah, you see a black guy coming out or a Muslim dude coming down the street with a sword in Houston, he ain't gonna make it down the block, okay? But white folks, you can come in there and be all Lord of the Rings and stuff, and nobody's gonna stop you. Okay. And Brooke Marks just writes in, release the footage. Okay. I might even be able to find it in here. So, anyways. All right. So, Nina, let's give him the fire. What's your villain of the week?
Ooh-wee. I should have brought my fan with me. So, the villain of the week is the MLK fakers, and there's so many of them, not just the ones that we're going to talk about tonight, Jane, but a whole host of them year after year after year. They are fakers. So, those that get it. Those that don't. We have a few clowns, I call them the fools, that just don't seem to get it. So earlier this week on Monday, which was the holiday for the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., and some people thought it would be a good idea to twist his words to fit their own agenda. Oh my God. So let's talk about who we have up. So many people. But Senator Kristen Sinema set off a flurry of furious condemnation Monday with a tweet to commemorate Martin Luther King Jr. Day. Remember, this happened just days after she helped to sink the Democratic Party's hope of passing voting rights legislation. Let's put up what the dear senator had to say about the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Today, we remember the life and legacy of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Hashtag MLK Day. It only took a few moments for folks to just tear her apart, and rightfully so. I got to call on Black Jesus on this one, members. I really, really do. You know, I did that segment, Jenk, as you know, on CNN. And I forewarned that people like her and others were going to use the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And I said, they better not utter one word about Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. You know why? Because there's one thing to quote Dr. King. It's another thing to carry out the mission of the man. And certainly the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. would not like what is going, the foolery that's going on right now in terms of blocking a voting rights legislation. And then, you know, the good senator said that Congressman John Lewis, the late great, was one of her heroes. Well, you know what? Damn it, she's not acting like it. Oh my God, my blood was boiling. You go ahead and jump in because I can keep going on for days over this one.
Yeah. So look, Hillary Clinton put up a quote about white moderates from Martin Luther King. And she, by the way, she didn't put up the real, like the quote she put up is real. But the one that's more famous is from the letter from a Birmingham jail. Yeah, where he said the white moderates were worse than Ku Klux Klanners.
And the White Counselors Association. Yes, he did. Go ahead, Jake. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, that's okay. And so don't come in here with your moderate votes and be the exact people that Martin Luther King was talking about and then pretend that you're on his side. No. Mainstream media will let you whitewash your history and his history, but we're not going to let you do that. Okay.
That's right.
And so, guys, I need you to understand Martin Luther King, when he was fighting for the Civil Rights Act and the Voting Rights Act, you know what his number one obstacle was? The filibuster. It's the same exact thing. It's not an analogy, it's not similar, it's the same thing. And he talked about the segregationists and the racists that used the filibuster as an excuse to block the Civil Rights Act and Voting Rights Act because their real agenda was racism. We're in the same situation right now. So don't come at us with Martin Luther King if you're not going to vote for something that is the voting rights. It's about voting rights. No, it is literally 100% hypocritical, not 99%.
That's it. That's it. And we got some footage of the Dr. King in his own words. We should go ahead and roll that team and let folks hear Dr. King in his own words what he had to say about the minority senators using the filibuster in very horrible ways.
Well, I think the tragedy is that we have a Congress with a Senate that has a minority of misguided senators who will use the filibuster to keep the majority of people from even voting. They won't let the majority of senators vote. And certainly they wouldn't want the majority of people to vote because they know they do not represent the majority of the American people. In fact, they represent in their own states a very small minority.
There it is. And Reverend Dr. King called tragic is the perfect word to describe what was going on when he made that comment in the 60s. And as you laid out, Jink, what is absolutely going on right now. We have people for Bernie. We should put up what they had to say, what they wrote, rather. The white moderate MLK warned us about, and they quote tweeted Kristen Sinema. So appropriate.
Yeah. And I also need people to understand the historical context too. So yes, sometimes in the past, things were bad enough that senators would say, oh, I don't like black people and that's why I'm using the filibuster. But most of the time they didn't do that. They also pretended not to be racist. They also pretended to care about the Senate traditions and Senate rules and Senate etiquette. But the filibuster has been used predominantly in American history to block civil rights. That's right. Kind of the point of the filibuster. So when they talk about the Senate tradition as if it's a pleasant thing, no, another American tradition was slavery. Well, that's not pleasant. So don't come at me with it was an American tradition. Some American traditions have been horrible. And the filibuster literally prevented anti-lynching laws. Yes, senators use the filibuster to block anti-lynching legislation. They were pro-lynching, but at the time they said Senate tradition, that's why I'm doing it. And so when you hear talk of Senate tradition now, understand it's the same disguised racism as it was in the past.
Come on, just the 21st century version. As a matter of fact, every civil rights bill.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, friends. It's me, Sharon McMahon, host of Here's Where It Gets Interesting, a podcast that tells the stories of America you probably haven't heard. Our goal is to ignite your curiosity about the fascinating people and events left out of the textbooks. I'm often joined by guests who share with us their insights about history, culture, and politics, so tune in and get ready to learn about some of the most brain-tingling moments in American history. You can listen to Here's Where It Gets Interesting wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
They use the filibuster to block. Every single one. That is what has been used. And, you know, even when Senator Manchin got up there, you know, yesterday to try to justify his foolishness too. They lean on that tradition nonsense. And then you hit the nail on the head. A lot of traditions in this country that are absolutely not good. And we got one more person to put up here. I mean, we could do a whole segment just on this, Jenk. People who should not allow one quote from the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. to come out of their mouths or to be on their Twitter. But yet, the fools do it anyway. Let's just go ahead and put this one up. Kevin McCarthy, from the halls of Ebenezer Baptist Church to the steps of the Lincoln Memorial, hashtag MLK, spent his life spreading what he called, quote, the gospel of freedom, end quote. He never gave up and never preached hate. His words and example inspire us today as we celebrate a great American on hashtag MLK Day. Well, obviously doesn't inspire you enough, brother. Doesn't inspire you enough because you guys are definitely standing on the wrong side of history when it comes to a whole host of things, Jink, that the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. espoused before he was murdered. Let's talk about health care. He did believe in universal health care, may not have called it in exactly the way we frame it today or call it today, but he did. He stood up against what he called the three evils or the triplets: militarism, materialism, poverty. Hello, somebody. So the issues that most Americans agree with us on that we should have in this country right now: universal health care, making sure that people have good jobs. He believed in a job guarantee, paid family, medical leave, you name it, Jane. The Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King was certainly ahead of his time on these issues. Yet these people stand up and utter the words of this man, but they don't care. They don't give a damn about his mission. And one more point. I want to encourage members to read The Radical King, edited and introduced by the one and only Dr. Cornel West. And so he takes the Reverend King in his own words, baby, and lays it out. Dr. King was not a moderate. He definitely was a radical when it came to issues of securing dignity and decency for humanity in this country and in this world. And if he were alive right now, this moment, these fools would be calling him an extremist, Jane.
Oh, 100%. Look, that's such a great point, Nina. If Martin Luther King was alive today, he would not be considered a universal hero. Fox News would obliterate him. Corporate media would jump in and go, I can't tell. Some people say Martin Luther King is fighting for civil rights, and other people think he's an awful communist terrorist. Let's call it even, right?
Yeah.
I guarantee you that's what would happen. And look, Nina, we've talked about this before. Back in the day, unfortunately, they did literal assassinations like Martin Luther King's. These days, they use the media to do character assassinations.
Come on.
So you think they wouldn't have assassinated Martin Luther King's character if he was around today? I guarantee you they would have done it. And not just right-wing media. Corporate media would have helped them do that.
And that's exactly right.
And Nina, as you were saying, you know, the last campaign he was working on when they killed him was the Poor People's Campaign.
Yeah.
So when he fought to unite the races to fight against poverty, he was more despised by the establishment than when he was just fighting on the racial issue. So, and remember when Fred Hampton was murdered, when he began to unite the races to fight against poverty. That is the one thing that the establishment in this country cannot bear. So, and they whitewash him now. He brought people together, they say. Yes, why did he bring them together? to fight against the establishment and to get change for poor people. You left that part out. It's kind of an important part. Even the I Have a Dream speech, read it, listen to it. You'll be surprised by it because you've only heard the anodyne parts. If you read or listen to the whole thing, you will see he talks about the vicious racist in Alabama. He didn't mince words. I mean, they tried to kill him and they did kill him. What, was he supposed to be polite to them? So Martin Luther King is not at all what now the myth-making factory of corporate media has turned him into. They turned him into a Ken doll.